This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone got a spaghetti now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike.
Talking Heads with Monty is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Fun Foods Wholesale, the IAAF World Relays Bahamas, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's and Games, and Tropical Gyros.
We're back at you on the Friday, April 19th edition of Talking Heads, your boy Naughty in your company. And as promised, like I told you, it is Friday. Go ahead. I mean, you need no introduction, but I'm going to make sure I give you one. My co-host today, and soon to be more than just on Fridays, but for today, back at you. She had so much fun last week on Friday. We said we'd do it again. So we got Mary Jane in studio with us. MJ, what's good?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I did make a promise last week that I would pop in and hang out with you a little bit more, so I'm very happy to be here with you today.
There you go. Look, I'm already getting the thumbs up from management. There you go. See how this thing goes? But you look good, and obviously there's a lot me and you got to talk about.
Right.
We got to do the weekend review.
Right.
And that's definitely, you know, a lot to talk about there. But before we get to that, we got a special guest and no stranger to the show. And I want to make sure I get him caught up, because as you know, a lot of listeners have been following his saga, his drama, his story, and his ordeal. And we're here today with Mr. Toby Smith, who's going to give us an update, because obviously we know from whence you have come. We've followed it. But apparently some light at the end of the tunnel. No pun intended. I mean, thanks to a certain judge, thanks to a certain ruling, I think you have some updates.
Yeah, so
to give us.
Good afternoon to you, to MJ. Thank you very much for having me on the show again, and to everybody listening out there in the universe. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show again, Naughty and MJ. So the latest is that we have filed with the appeals court to take leave from the appeals court to the Privy Council, and we believe that with the ruling that we received from the appeals court, with Sir Michael Barnett's dissent on his other learned judges on the panel, that he dissented from the other two judges and said that the ruling is in our favor, and he would order specific performance, which means government on a release.
So basically we have one judge saying the government needs to honor the lease. You have two other judges going in a different direction. So where does that put you exactly?
That puts us exactly applying to the Privy Council through the Court of Appeal by taking leave. And hopefully the Court of Appeal will say, yeah, you're good to go, and go on to the Privy Council. If we're denied at the Appeals Court and given a certificate to proceed to the Privy Council, then we could apply directly to the Privy Council.
So you still have options. You still have
plenty of options.
So plenty rounds left in this fight.
Plenty powder.
I think a lot of people are familiar with your story, your saga, Toby, over the years. Of course, you've been very vocal about what you've been going through in your struggle to get government to recognize something that you say that they should recognize, and certain performances that they should actually do based on an agreement that you have. But just give us a quick recap, just for anyone listening that may not be familiar with your story, that may not be familiar with what's going on. Just give us a quick recap of what's happening.
All right, so you bring up a lot of interesting points there already, MJ. So basically, the government went and offered me a lease for Crown Land. We have an agreement for a lease. They sent me a letter on the 7th of January 2020 saying, yeah, approved Crown Land lease. They supported it with a lease that identified where the land is over on Paradise Island. And then since the Supreme Court ruling came out, I actually got a call from somebody who kindly left me basically the whole of the government file that shows what was going on behind the scenes in government. So while the government sent me an approval letter on the 7th of January, they were also double dealing the same Crown Land to Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines, And gave them a letter dated the 2nd of January saying that they're approved for Crown Land. And if you'd like, I could lay it before you right here. It's already been submitted to the court, so it's a public document. But basically, you could see where the Minister administration doubled out the same land. The PLP before, they got rid of, threw Minister's administration out, said that they would cancel any lease done with RCL. Mm-hmm. And then when they were in power, I reached out to the Prime Minister. He said his word is his bond, that he supports my project. And he went on then to support RCL, and apparently they're supposed to be, well, they said during this week that they had no heads of agreement.
Right.
So that's where we're at, and that's how we got there.
And it's been, this has been a long road for you. I think I asked you this before on a different platform that we were on. Mm-hmm. What has this been like for you? Because I have to tell you, the fact that you're now taking this to the Privy Council, that you're still in this fight is amazing for me. It shows a lot of fortitude, because a lot of people along this journey, they would give up for various reasons, for the politics of it, for the stress of it, for the finances that I'm sure you've had to put out of your own pocket to fight this fight. Right. But you persevere, you keep on. What has this been like for you, and what keeps you moving forward in this fight?
The support that I'm getting from the Bahamian people is a big is a massive incentive to do it. I think the Bahamians in general are tired of getting stomped on by these political pundits coming out making promises and saying that they're all for Bahamians. And as soon as they get into power, they kick us to the curb. So unless you're a sweetheart, crony, whoever it is.
Homies, cronies, lovers, and friends. That's what I refer to.
Thank you very much. Or I'm sure there's other acronyms that we could put towards it. But unfortunately,
I don't know if they can say that on the radio.
So what we got is a interested Bahamian public that has been watching and seeing these developments going on. And yeah, I got the cojones to stand up to these fellas, whereby we hear of this red carpet for foreign investment and red tape for Bahamians. I'm all about foreign investment. That's cool. But it has to be the right Bahamian. It has to be the right foreign investment, and not where a foreign company comes in and says, yeah, we're the best thing since sliced bread, like what Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines are doing as they throw out cruises to NGOs and whatnot for free. But it should be that we level the playing field. So why is it that, for instance, Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines are deciding if they're going to start participating in paying VAT? So Bahamians have been paying VAT since inception, and RCL came out and said that they're not ready to pay VAT, and they haven't paid VAT for like the last 9 years since inception. That when we want to go up on departure tax on them, they're like, well, we're not really sure we're going to actually go up on departure tax. We don't really agree with that. So cruise visitors pay less in departure tax than what people coming in via airlines or departing via airlines have to pay. Mm. And if those cruise ships decide that they're not going to include Nassau as a port of call, they only have to pay an extra $2. So they're building all these other private keys,
they
which
are.
Is Bahamian.
Well, that's what
a
I have
lot,
an issue with
it.
There. Because
there's many issues.
We brag on the fact that there's so many cruise ship visitors, but where's the impact? We're still one of the lowest spends in the region, and the majority of those tourists offload on private islands, not here in New Providence, not in Grand Bahama, on private islands where they're serviced by cruise ship staff, not Bahamians.
Yeah, so let
and
me ask you.
And make work pick up fees off of those cruise ship staff that work on the islands to service the guests.
Okay, so let me ask you.
And on top of that, we've had rumors and we've had instances where the cruise ships are telling folks not to come off of the cruise ships in New Providence.
In New Providence, because it's way better in their private island.
Correct.
So when I wrote to Robert Farquharson, who's the Director of Labor, he's now being replaced, but when he was Director of Labor, I called him and I asked him, I said, is it that a cruise line can have their foreign crew workers come off of the ship and work on, for instance, Coco Key? He said that every single one of them is supposed to have in possession of a valid Bahamian work permit. However, RCL are bringing all these people off of the ship, along with shipping all of their supplies that they need for the island. Are they? Where is it within their heads of agreement? Why is it that if this is so brilliant for the Bahamas, do they hide these heads of agreement? Why not publish a heads of agreement which says that they don't have to pay duty, they don't have to pay VAT, they don't have to pay work permits, they don't have to pay NIB contributions, they don't have to, and let's level the playing field so that when you get a Bahamian project like mine, that I've been in now my 13th year of trying, and they came in Johnny Come Lately in 2020, and they get the SWIFT treatment. That right. is an example right there of how the government operates for the wrong foreign investment in favoritizing and giving hardship to Bahamian people.
I've sensed frustration.
Just for me?
A little bit of frustration, just a little bit. Toby, I sense some frustration, and it's understandable. It sounds to me, just listening, it sounds to me like, you know, you're looking at a situation where you feel as though you're a government that should be working to ensure that Bahamians get this red carpet treatment that you talk about instead of the red tape, actually go in a different direction, whereas others get that red carpet treatment and you're like fighting the whole way through. Are you a bit frustrated with this process?
Yeah, and I've learned to live with it. Like you're asking me, how do I cope with it? I've just learned to live with it. So mentally, for my own mental health, I can compartmentalize it.
Right.
Yes, it is extremely frustrating. And I know that Bahamians that are listening to this and that have followed the story, I know also that I can connect with them because they too are feeling the frustration. And I'm not standing up to say this is a fight that Toby's fighting. This is a fight that Toby is fighting for the benefit of all Bahamians, all people that are applying for Crown land, all people where it resonates and seeing foreign companies coming with the wrong foreign investment, such as Sam Bankman-Fried, Peter Nygaard, on and on and on, all these people coming in and they're all supporting all these political parties.
Yeah.
Right, and then with that, we can't talk and meet with a prime minister because he's off watching some Formula One race in Miami. Compliments of Sam.
Right, I think that was basketball, but your point stands. Your point stands, Toby. It does. And one thing I can say is that because this isn't something that just happened, it has been ongoing for years. Sometimes when we discuss this with other people, we get a lot of feedback that's very encouraging. Oh, I hope Toby continues. Mm-hmm. I want him to continue to fight. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of Bahamians kind of are living through you vicariously. They want to see if at the end of the day, and my goodness, you've had to go a long road, they want to see what the end result is going to be and if you're going to get what a lot of people view as justice in this situation, which is that you are allowed to continue your project and your leases are honored. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are kind of watching this with an eye on, let's see how this
ends. When is a Bahamian, going to get stood up for, and when is a Bahamian going to have a stake in the game?
So you're definitely not alone in this fight. I've heard a lot of positive...
Yeah. Me too.
And
me
I think another reason why people resonate, not to cut you off, MJ, is the fact that Toby has campaigned vigorously and lobbied vigorously from the inception of this that it will be fully Bahamianized, full employment of Bahamians, open for Bahamians, so Bahamians can have an experience on that portion of the island and not feel like we're excluded. And it would make for so many spin-off. Tourism options to go into the island, not just for tourists, but for Bahamians. Mm. Also to employ Bahamians. Also to have tourists book the island for private events, so on and so forth, because it gives a specific ambiance as well as the history of the lighthouse. That's a story unto itself.
Where the history is not only for the other, or for the total of a dozen lighthouses in the Bahamas, but also the fact that our project is looking to restore the lighthouse for free, right? Free of charge, not to the taxpayers, not to the general public. Number one. Number two, we have 12 lighthouses, one of which is the last remaining one in the world that's hand-cranked and quarantine-fired in the Elbow Reef in Abaco. San Salvador Lighthouse still has all the equipment for hand-crank kerosene fire. So does Anagua. We could have the only three remaining in the world lighthouses.
And
right?
That's tourist attractions.
Historical tourism is one of the fastest growing. Cultural tourism is one of the fastest growing trends in tourism. And also that people are getting hip. That instead of booking through the cruise lines where they're taking the lion's share off of the top line revenue for excursion operators that are Bahamian, right? They're realizing that they can book directly and not have to pay as much. So these cruise lines are literally coming in, taking 50 to 75% off of the top line revenue of all these excursion operators. The excursion operators are either going fully legit, which is they have all of their business license, the insurance, the liability, and all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And those that can't afford it are then going pirate and offering these things.
Right. Well, speaking of pirate, I've gotten several complaints about it. Maybe you can answer this. Mm-hmm. And a couple of people who did text me and say, well, ask Toby. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing allegations and rumors, but more allegations that there are two or three pig operations running off of Athol Island, one local, two foreign, without any of the requirements.
So if it's that much public
knowledge... And I said it because you brought up excursions.
Excursions, right? So when you look at a legitimate excursion that puts in an application, not mentioning any names, for them to be able to have an extension of an existing excursion that they operate now, and they go the legitimate way in applying for Crown land, et cetera, and waiting 12 years also, and then you get pirates just coming in and saying, hey, we're going to do this, step out the way, this is us, because of whatever affiliation that they have. Shouldn't like the Department of Environmental Protection and Planning come in and see what's going on with these pigs? Shouldn't, if they see people clearing lands, that they should say, hey, what's going on over here? And actually shut them down, like when they're filling in the whale fields out at Adelaide and stuff, actually go out there? No. What they do is they say, hey, Royal Caribbean, how about dinner? How about a cruise, right? And then when like Royal Caribbean have the town hall meeting, then they get these people stand up that they're in business with and who they've given free cruises with, and then they say that RCL are the best thing since sliced bread. I asked at the dual RCL DEP town hall meeting that was held at QC, does DEP have the records for when RCL pump out their scrubber water?
Okay.
Into the water, mm-hmm. and their nanny and their garbage and all the rest of it.
Bilge,
all of the funk, right?
Yeah.
That through international law, where they sit on like Solus and they're board members and part of the cruise industry association, all these things, to say that we're brilliant because we just cut air emissions by half. Meanwhile, they're using different technology to scrub their exhaust, so their air emissions are reduced. But that salt, well, our nice pristine Bahamian salt water is being thrown up into their funnels. It then comes down with all these contaminants. They separate out the water, concentrate the contaminants, and they asked, are the records being shared with DEP from the vessel? And their response is that once they're 3 miles out from any Bahamian land, they start pumping. So 3 miles out with a 3-knot.
And sadly, that has been the way of the cruise ship since I was a little boy.
Straight true. Until they get caught. And then they're getting caught by the U.S. and Carnival and RCL and Alaska.
Huge fines.
Even huge fines of $20 million by Carnival for polluting in the Bahamas. And what does DEP do? They go on a cruise and everything's cool.
I think with your experience through this, there's something else that you have to offer the Bahamian people, which is ideas about how we fix this. Because at the end of the day, I think having a roadmap in order to do things better would be beneficial to the Bahamian people. So given what you've gone through, what would you suggest as a way to kind of fix the whole process that you've gone through to ensure that other Bahamians perhaps don't have to face the same obstacles that you had to?
Okay, so for instance, when you look at, if you want to apply for Crown land, and anyone listening, you could Google it right now, Crown land application, lands and surveys, Bahamas, and there is a form, and on that form it says that if you're a foreigner,
right,
you can go through BIA.
Mm.
And if you're Bahamian, you send it through to Bay and Armstrong Street with lands and surveys.
Mm.
That right there? Yeah. Right? Oh, you got deep pockets? Mm-hmm. Yeah, come see us.
Got an investment authority.
You're a lowly Bahamian that wants to actually do good and have a product. And I know of existing products now, and people are just too scared to talk about it, but existing products that are in operation, that's successful and have got a great reputation, operating on Crown land, to say to the government, hey, can we regularize this and you actually give me the Crown land? I've been farming it. I've been operating it. I've got an operation that's successful, a great reputation. Can you regularize it? And they've been waiting 30 years, 45 years. There's thousands of applications at Bay and Armstrong Street. Mm. But come on over if you're a foreign investor, come on over to Bahamas Investment Authority and let's get you straight.
So everything, in your opinion, should be funneled through BIA, or there should be a one-stop shop. Is that what you're saying?
Like, yeah, there should be equal. So if I'm application number 35,001 in 2012. And RCL come along 8 years later and say, well, we're gonna actually leverage, we're going to buy the Grand Lucayan from you guys.
Right.
And we want some land on Paradise Island. So give us the land on Paradise Island. And then they don't go ahead and do the Grand Lucayan, but still want the land on Paradise Island. And that's exactly what's happened. Grand Lucayan 1.0, Grand Lucayan 2.0, that Michael Scott, the chairman of the Bahamas Hotel Associate, or Bahamas Hotel, the... the Bahamas Hotel, not association, but
corporation, said
that it was an egregious, it was a bad deal for Bahamians. So shouldn't someone step in that's supposed to be representing Bahamians and say, man, it's a bad deal, you need to carry it? So what should happen to streamline the process, MJ? I think that it should be that if RCL come in and they're, it's not their turn,
right?
Then sit small and wait your turn. It's not about giving out what you're going to give out. You know?
All right. Well,
turkeys and hams. We're better. Bahamians are better than being given out turkeys and hams. Don't you think?
I definitely believe so.
Especially in 2024. But listen, I appreciate you bringing us up to snuff as to where we are.
Yes, sir. Thank
so
you, guys.
Now we are, and this is for the text who just texted in, we are now at Privy Council status, correct?
No, we are now at application at the appeals court to take leave to take it to the Privy Council.
So you're waiting on that.
So, yes, texters who have texted in, Toby still has a lot of fight left in this.
Yeah.
A lot of rounds left to go in this. So,
yeah,
so he's not been...
Yeah, steel ones.
Right. Well, we know that.
Do you have an idea about when to expect or an approval?
Timeline?
Or yeah.
Yeah. So, we've already applied to the appeals court.
Mm-hmm.
They can take all the time they want.
Wow.
I'm not rushing them. No, I don't say that in a derogatory way, that all in the fullness of time, that will come through. When it comes through, which would hopefully be a certificate that we then take through to the Privy Council, if not, that it could be that the Court of Appeal wish to have a hearing. It could be a full-blown hearing where the government wants to continue to fight me. Bring it. And then from there, if the appeals court rule, then that could be within, I don't know, the next couple of months. And then the Privy Council take about 60 to 90 days to get around to it. And then we'll be given a date to appear. And then within about 30 days, then we get a decision back from Privy Council when we win.
So there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's in the foreseeable future.
I reckon. Okay. And it's costing a lot of money, a lot of time. And the government, by the way, is using taxpayers' money, our money that we pay in taxes and all the rest of it, to fight Bahamians away from the trough that they want to hog up.
Sad. But
amazing.
At least we are
real.
I know. And at least we continue the dialogue, and folks are relieved to know where you're at. And obviously, via the text, I'm seeing a lot still in your corner, as you said.
Mm.
So we have to keep an eye on this, and we have to watch it play out, like you said, over the next few months.
But
know you have a platform.
Yeah.
Whenever you need to get your portion of the story out.
Keep us updated.
Well, so people are out there, boy, Toby must have got paid off because Toby gone quiet. Please respect the fact that, you know, I there's certain instances that, yes, I do go below the radar and I'm not in the press, and it's because I'm working behind the scenes.
And if he's quiet, it's really hard. I know him for close to 40 years. If he's quiet, it's because he has to be quiet. Trust me.
Exactly.
So trust me, I know.
Yeah.
But you know, I appreciate you, brother. I'm here for you. We're here for you, and the Bahamian people are here for you.
We know that.
So you know, you have a platform, and keep us posted. All right.
Yes, man. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, MJ. Thank you, Naughty. Yeah, man. Bless.
Let's get to the break. We got the weekend review coming up on the flip side of the break. Keep it right. We got the Friday, April 19th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Enjoy the flavors of summer with a mega-sized KFC combo and get a secret code for a chance to win. KFC and Pepsi is giving away daily beach bundles of a KFC bag packed with KFC shades, a bucket of 25 KFC whole wings, and a 2-liter Pepsi, plus a weekly cash prize of $1,000. Whether it's original recipe, spicy, or barbecue, get your favorite KFC combo today and mega-size your summer fun. KFC Nassau, it's mega finger-licking good.
Nice to meet you, Jazz. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an independent 27-year-old manager who wants her own home with her own rules.
Sounds good. I'll help you get there.
We see you, the go-getter, with big plans. And we've been keeping you in mind. Follow your goal home with a mortgage from CIBC Caribbean. And don't bother about your home insurance, as we'll help with that and more. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/inspired home for more info. Conditions apply.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back at you on the Friday, April 19th edition of Talking Heads. And boy, I could say now officially, boy, blah, blah, blah. I ain't done this with you in a little while. Just like me and you in studio, not for a minute.
No, it's good to be hanging out with you. Although today is a day that we're remembering, of course, someone that's very special to Talking Heads. And
yeah, a very good friend, the late Don Saunders. I know he was funeralized today. And my thoughts and prayers, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family, his friends, his colleagues. And, you know, just we lost a young leader and somebody who was not afraid to have the conversation with anybody from any side of the political divide or be candid with the media, which is always refreshing as being a part of the media. It's refreshing to have somebody that will actually sit down and be candid, especially, you know, being in politics, because there's a lot of politicians that do not want to sit down and have a conversation with the media. They'll put press releases out. They'll make their statements from their ivory towers, but they won't come on and go one-on-one. So,
but Don was different than that. He was always willing, when this was at a different station, this particular show, he was always willing to show up and to discuss things. And if it was really important, he took the time. He'd answer tough questions. He'd give us a new way to look at certain ideas. And for that, I will forever be grateful. And again, my condolences to his entire family, all of the members of his former constituency, because I'm sure there's a lot of hurt there, too. I mean, across the whole country.
And we at Joke as well extend our condolences, too, because he was a fan of comedy.
Yeah.
He used to, you know, not only come in support, but also when I would talk with him outside of, you know, politics and current events and sports, we'd always share a laugh and share a joke, you know? And, you know, being a comedian, you always got people to come up and say, hey, I got one for you. It's like when you see a doctor in the food, hey, doc, got a second? My back is hurting. But he was one who normally, you know, when he gave you one, it was a funny one. Yeah. You didn't have to give him the whole, oh, that's funny, I heard that, no. So I'm going to miss all those conversations. It was good people. And again, my thoughts and prayers go out to his family, especially his kids, and very proud of his son for doing so well in the open water swimming career to honor his dad. Good stuff right there.
His wife, kids, and entire family.
All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Yeah, good day, Naughty.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing until your guest?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I'd like to offer my condolences to Dawn family, too, because back in the day, he stood with one of my cousins when we was standing up with that episode with our great grandfather's property in San Salvador when they wanted to take for gold. Remember that?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, when they had to chase them away, you know, Brave Davis and his general, who's now deceased from Sugarloaf, Mr. Bird DeVoe, you know. But Don was a real fighter, and, you know, he was fearless, too. But to digress from that, I mean, I give my condolences to his family also. To digress from that, the situation with Toby.
Right.
That's what they're announcing about the Lighthouse Beach thing.
Yes.
Yeah, we heard an announcement recently.
Yeah, he's correct with what we were talking about. Yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about. And a recent announcement by RCL is that they're going to actually break ground in short order on that property.
I heard that this morning, something like that this morning on the radio. Yeah, because I wondered about Toby's situation and what he was explaining about going to the Privy Council. You know,
well, that's the direction it's headed in now from his end. He just spoke on that.
If he gets leave to do it.
Yeah, and I also would like to get in contact with him, or have him get in contact with me. I'd like to dialogue with him with the issues, because, you know, my other issue, that similar issue where I told you about Pittstown with my property, my 23-acre, 700-foot beachfront in Crooked Island, where the government is citing, I'm allowing them to still operate. Today make 17 months and 5 days since the 14th of November, 2022, and the investment board would not answer my letter. But that's okay. Everything is working in my favor, and everything helps my situation, because all the value of my property is still going up. But I want to get in contact with Toby, or have him get in contact with me.
All right, what to do is leave your number with my producer, and I'll make sure to get it to Toby, and you guys could have your conversation.
Yeah, and then to chime out on this, you know, when it comes to this government with their impenitence, you know, that's the word of the day, and also with them, the way they operate is in the realms of chicanery. You know, that means trickery to achieve a political, financial, or legal purpose. We have to keep eye on them. You see what I'm saying? And I keep saying, too, let's just watch them with the private privilege and partnership thing with that BPL thing, because we as Bahamian people should not have to pay no surcharge for the sun ray that we can harness through the solar panels, wires, and inverters, right? And bring down everybody's electricity, because what's his name? Graham Thompson, always talking about that.
Graham Mellifont. Graham Mellifont.
Don't
give him his credit on this show, boy. Graham would be outside waiting for me on his schooner.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, Graham Mellifont.
Yeah, he, like he said the other day, you know, it is to bring all Bahamians' electricity bill down to $30. I don't know. If you bring it less than $50, it's even good, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't let them talk about this private partnership thing and keep their feet to the fire. They need to abandon that. And I'm going to keep on that, because the president of the BPL union called for them to abandon it. And I want my childhood schoolmate and friend, Michael Pindad, and Dwayne, the chairman? Dr. Sands, his father, Basil Sands. We used to play golf together when we were children, you know, for them to give the Bahamian the position on how they stand on that BPL thing, because it affects every Bahamian, and we both have a stake in it, right? And that's, you know, what we need to stay on. Don't let it go, Naughty.
I got you. Yeah. I'm sure you remind me if I do.
You know,
all right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Have a good weekend, man. Always good to hear from you. Be safe, eh?
Yeah, take care.
All right.
He did raise an important point, I think, where he talked about how we have to keep an eye. But that's literally the job of the people, you know. A lot of times we blame just the politicians. And in one respect, I don't think it's fair, because if we elect persons and we expect them to do certain things, but then as people, we offer zero oversight.
You need to tell them, you need to remind them, you need to be vocal.
And we're not speaking up in situations where we feel that something is happening that we may not necessarily approve of, and that it could be done a different way, but we say nothing, then that's on us as well.
If nothing's said, then I'm looking at it as there's no problem.
Because one thing that Toby's situation should kind of highlight to you is that, yes, administrations change, but you do have these situations where they act the same. We always say, governments are continuous in more ways than one. Sometimes you think you're going to get a different set of policies, but at the end of the day, you end up getting the same set of policies. And that's where it's important for people, all the people, to kind of use our voices and say, okay, we would prefer to go in this direction, and not just suck our teeth and say, okay, I can vote them out, wait till election time come, because so much can happen between
now
elections that, you know, we don't want to be stuck in that position. If we're overseeing this thing, if we're the shareholders of this country,
and we have a stake, then we should have a voice.
We should have
a
voice.
Along with our stake.
As often as we can or need to.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking heads. Talking heads.
Naughty is calling back to put the number for Toby and getting.
Yeah, just hang on, Mr. Producer, get your number, and then, yeah, we'll get it to Toby. All right, so we can review MJ, boy. There's a lot we need to talk about.
What are the big things that happened for you this week?
Oh, God.
Well, one of the things I think that kind of stands out in my mind is some legislation that went through this week with the gang legislation. What are they calling it?
The gang
bill? Gang legislation. That's
gang
not
legislation.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, well,
Yeah, but the legislation that has to do
with... I think with, that's what they're calling it.
I heard gang bill somewhere, but yeah. The legislation that that's being debated in the House, that is very interesting. Some points there. I think at the end of the day, the majority of Bahamians do want to see movement in this direction. They do want to see something done. We know that gang violence is a problem in this country. We know that the murder count is ridiculously high. We know that these armed robberies are ridiculously high. We know that rapes and attacks, sexual attacks on women and children, and maybe in some instances other men as well.
Correct.
We know that it's ridiculous and out of control in this country, and something has to be done. All my life growing up, I never imagined us to be a bloodlust, bloodthirsty type of people. But if you look at our murder numbers, statistics over the past decade, maybe even a little bit before that, we seem to be something that I personally never imagined we would amount to in my mind growing up. So something has to be done. We have to kind of slow down, retard this onslaught of
violence. Goes to the bill. I mean, how much teeth does it have? I mean, is it something that sinks teeth in, like in the United States, where you have layers to it, like with RICO statutes and so on and so forth?
That a lot of
three strikes and you're out kind of bills.
Some persons have argued that a lot of what we're seeing in the bill is kind of like a duplication of some legislation that's already on the books. So I guess it really depends on execution.
Is it ours, or is it from our neighbors from the north? How we so candidly love the coffee.
Interesting part that I think people are talking about is the part that deals with persons, family members, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, that may be involved with persons that are participating in these gang activities, that may be aware of it, and where their where their consequences would come in as well. So you may have a situation where you have parents, and they're what we would call, I guess, what the legal field would call abetting these murderers, these gangsters. And so now it's in a place where we're looking to give them harsher penalties. And that's where I think more debate will come in, where we have to fine-tune it.
Right.
You don't want to sweep everybody up in one big net. I think we understand as people what it is that this law should do. If you're actively aiding someone, participating in these gang activities, that's one thing. If you're just peripherally involved, or maybe even you have a child, would the parent necessarily know? These are questions that we have to ask before it's just one big dragnet, because that's going to be something that affects a lot of us.
To those angles, there also needs to be levels to the as far as the penalties go.
Oh, the penalties are harsh. No, the penalties are harsh, and I would argue that we're now at the point where these penalties kind of need to be harsh. I don't know if that'll even serve as a deterrent. We live in a country where capital punishment is still technically on the books, but we don't necessarily practice capital punishment. And our highest court of appeal, the Privy Council, that's in a country that does not practice capital punishment anymore. I would say that most British people, or at least their government, is vehemently opposed to capital punishment. So going there at the end of the day and expecting a ruling that says, okay, go, I don't know how realistic that is.
Right.
But, harsh penalties, jail time for gang-related activity, I think a lot of people would say
we're
that's
ready
over.
To see that.
That's over. It's overdue. I mean,
long overdue.
Something has to give. So that is interesting, and we'll continue to watch the public debate over that issue, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to say as we get into the details. They say the devil is in the details. Get into the details. The next big thing that I think a lot of people were talking about this week is still the... Is it a Cold War? It's a Cold War between the government and the Grand Bahama Port Authority. I listened to the show on Tuesday, and you had Reverend McAlpine.
Reverend McAlpine, we had Dan Cooper, we had Sarah Kirkby from the Grand Bahama News.
And once again, but what I like about that is that we're hearing from Grand Bahamians.
Who actually live in Grand Bahama and who have their finger on the pulse and know the Hawksbill Creek Agreement.
I think it's important in situations like this, where you have something and you have people that are going to be directly affected, that we allow their voices to rise to the forefront. We give them that space and that grace to hear what it is they have to say, because whatever happens, they have to live with the final decision. A lot of Nassuvians, and I know that, yes, this is something that affects the whole country, but a lot of Nassauians want to kind of elbow into the front of this conversation,
right.
I would just say, and it's not just because I'm a Grand Bahamian. I'm actually, because I haven't lived in Grand Bahama for many, 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 many years now, I'm actually allowing persons that are still there, my friends that are still there, my family members that are still there, to kind of have their views rise to the front and not just try to overshadow it with what we think. So to watch that fight continue, I guess it's a cold war, they're headed to arbitration or what have you, it'll be interesting to hear.
Did we get an updated bill today? Did we get an itemized bill yet? Or are we still...
I don't think we had an itemized bill.
Are we still playing folly, looking for that?
Yeah. The whole situation. And then a lot of people are getting like a crash course in the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. Growing up in Grand Bahama, I can tell you, a lot of us are very familiar with it, because the first time you realize that something is different about Freeport, the first time someone tells you, okay, well, no, you see those cars with the orange license plates? They're bonded, and that means that they can't go past a certain point. I mean, this is a real thing that you learn as a person growing up in Grand Bahama. You're like, really? Why? Well, it's because the port has this area, and that government is like, okay, well, what's the
How
big
about
difference?
This question?
It feels
why
weird.
Why does over this side of the road look so good, and over here look so tear up? Oh, this is the side of the road the port is taking care of, this is the side of the road the government is taking care of?
I mean, there have been kind of like inferences about things like that, but yeah, you get a crash course in what part is being managed by the government and what parts of Freeport, Grand Bahama, are being managed by the Port Authority, and
now,
then you make comparisons.
You know what I kind of thought, and I had a little hunch there, MJ, why there was so much hullabaloo over this Cold War and back and forth.
Uh-huh.
It was a good distraction. It was a good conversation. You know why? Because when we look today now, we see Bowleg Defense Oversight of Games.
Aye, aye, aye.
Dear Jesus, how did that happen? How huge was that oversight? And Mr. Bowleg, you know you are all right with me, but my God, how you missed that.
So...
Because maybe you was doing what you were supposed to do, but part of your team.
I'm just reading, and there have been...
If this was basketball, your assistants didn't watch game film, because you didn't... How this got by you?
There have been a lot said in the last couple of days about, you know, what happened. We have the Auditor General delivering his report, which was tabled in Parliament. So, yeah, we have some information. But
let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty, how you doing?
What's happening?
Everything good. Who's MJ? That's your wife and them?
That's my better half. Yes, Mystery Dolphin.
I want to ask MJ something.
Hey. And she don't like the Dolphins either.
Oh, my gosh.
How you doing, MJ?
I'm good. How are you?
And she's a San Antonio Spurs fan, too. So, you know, I have issues.
Hey, MJ, I want to ask you one question.
Hey.
What's your husband's demeanor at home when the Lakers lose? And it's a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
What's his real, real feeling about LeBron James?
Okay, so let me answer the first question. His demeanor when the Lakers lose. Nowadays, he has been kind of just like chill about it. I don't want to say that like he happy they lose, but put it like this. He's not sad. I'll be honest with you. He's not sad when they lose. His real feelings about LeBron James are the same things that he says on the radio and in person all the time, which is that he doesn't feel like LeBron was ever a good fit in L.A. He, you know, respects LeBron a lot off the court. But on the court, some of the antics over the decades kind of soured him. You have to understand that he's spoiled. He comes from the Kareem, Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, James Worthy.
Yeah.
You know, like this is a...
Byron Scott, Michael Cooper,
Michael Thompson.
There you go.
He comes from that generation.
Mark Landsberger, damn it. He won a ring, too, with the Lakers.
So many. He comes from that generation, so he saw the winning time Lakers, right? He saw that.
So he's a real, real
he's
Laker.
He's a real,
like Pearly.
Correct. He's a real, real Laker. And then you got those great years where his... Probably his favorite player, Kobe Bryant, was a member of the Lakers, and he watched the dominance with Kobe and with Shaquille O'Neal, and then with just Kobe by himself in the later years with Pau Gasol and all of those persons.
You know, sports too.
Yeah, no, and so he's been,
buddy. It ain't just Beauty Ryan, you know.
Mystery Dolphin. He's been dragging me through this process. My team is the San Antonio Spurs, but now I got to know all this Lakers stuff just to argue with him, right? So
yes.
He doesn't he respects LeBron off, but not on the court.
Well, I'm so sad that you're a San Antonio Spurs.
Why? Hold on. We got Wemby. Come on now.
Yeah,
don't feel sad. Don't feel sad for me. I feel sad for you all in a couple of years.
All right. Well, nice talking to you, MJ. Have a good
one. You too.
One.
Have a great weekend.
All right, Mr. Biche, brother. Good to hear from you as always.
All right. You too.
But back to this point right here, MJ. Like how did we get here?
So I have a couple of thoughts because I've been reading these articles. I don't know if we have time to get into
why don't we take the break?
Yes.
And then we get into the news, and on the flip side of the news, we'll come back and we'll go over into the 5 o'clock. Yeah, man.
We'll do the weekend review.
We'll finish that up, and we'll talk sports because obviously, you know, MJ can talk some sports.
A little bit.
So Talking Heads, the Friday, April 19th edition continues right after this.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Make Mother's Day one to remember with a delightful Mother's Day brunch valued at $300, courtesy of Haagen-Dazs and Fun Foods Wholesale. It's simple. Just head over to Lickety Split or Super Value locations and purchase a pint of your favorite Haagen-Dazs ice cream for just $8.99. After purchasing, don't forget to write your full name and number on the back of your receipt and drop it into any entry box at the store. You're now in the running for our grand prize drawing, taking place on May 10th. Hurry, this offer ends soon. Happy Mother's Day from Haagen-Dazs. Promotion ends May 8th.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is pricey, and pricey is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Talking Heads with Nati is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Fun Foods Wholesale, the IAAF World Relays Bahamas, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
We'll be right back.
on the Friday, April 19th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. along with MJ. Pearly will be chiming in short order, but we're wrapping up the week in review because, like I say, we got lots to talk about.
Well, I know you. So the big headline, I guess, for yesterday and today is all about, and this ties into sports because it has to do with games, you know.
Karifta Games.
The Karifta Games and the Jubilee Games.
Games, correct.
And about the oversight and arguably the overspend associated with those games. Now, I've been reading, you know, a lot of the reporting in the papers, and I think Bahamians, like, have some questions. You know, the way you view what the Auditor General has presented, you look at it in terms of, you know, him performing his constitutional duty, giving us the numbers, well, this is what was budgeted, this is what was actually spent, these are some of the things that I found, and then he listed some, we'll just call them, like, irregular or, I guess, I guess they were approved at some point, some of these payments that maybe weren't initially a part of that first budget that may raise some questions. You know, that happened. And a lot of people, I think the frustration comes in, not with that the games cost some $7 million and originally we thought it would cost around, you know, what, $3 million or so or something around
that? Yeah, I think initially it was $3 million, maybe $4 million in that neighborhood, but it went out, it ballooned to $7 million.
Right.
In that neighborhood. And my question is, how are we gone from A to B? And there's now, minister says, LOC never responded to audit concerns and still insists no overspending took place for the 2023 games. But,
well,
obviously
Actually, it was $12 million. It was more than $7 million, which cost more than $7 million than was allocated.
Correct.
All right, so here we are. Yeah, I'm pulling up the...
It jumped from 5 to 12.
I'm
and
pulling
that's
up
7 million.
The figures now. Yeah, it was around, what, 4.9, something like that, and then it ended up being closer to 12. So my thoughts on this, and I think I'm hearing the conversation in the public domain, what we've seen reported in the Nassau Guardian, as well as what we've seen reported in other dailies. And I think one of the things that's happening is that we're having two different conversations, because in his response, the minister spoke more to procedures and, oh, I feel as though, you know, we called in the Auditor General's department, so they should have been nicer and they should have come to us before this final report, even though he admitted that at some point in the process he got a preliminary report and was made aware that there were some questions that remained unanswered and some information that the Auditor General was speaking. And for that, I do give the minister a bit of fault. If you're the top guy, you're the... What's the term? What we use for HNIC now? I know.
Sorry, the
head dude in charge.
Dude in charge.
The head HDIC. If you're the head dude in charge.
Caller IC, we'll get you in a second.
And you're aware that an audit is happening. One, you request it. And then you get a preliminary report that says, hey, listen, it's looking a little crazy because we're missing X, Y, Z. Are we trying to figure out what's going on here? You must be aware at that point that you're looking at $7 million more than was originally budgeted for the two events. So there must be some urgency, some impetus to say, you know what? I'm going to get my people on it. We're going to answer these questions. I'm going to make sure you have the information so that when that final report is prepared, you're giving Parliament and the Bahamian people all of the information that you can possibly give the Bahamian people to avoid this public row.
And you know, if you want to, you know, tie into transparency and accountability, that's what we want. We want to see an audit. We want to know how it went from almost $7 million to $12 million. We want to know the balloonage.
Right.
How it got there. And obviously, if it was a necessity for games, and I'll take for an example, I'm not saying this is where it's gone to because we still need a breakdown, but I know there was issues with the pool. If you had to come in and get some parts or some things in the last minute to get it done.
Just tell us.
Just let us know. I could live with that. I could understand that X, Y, and Z went toward this, and it was a chunk. I could live with that.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we got six straight in the aquatics as far as Karifta goes. So the ends and the means added up.
I think a lot of people are not necessarily, like, getting upset over... Because the final tally, if we're looking at this from both ends. The final tally was that, you know, we ended up losing. The deficit was $829,821. A lot of people might actually say, you know what? okay, we had to eat that as a country, but it was worth it. It was worth it. The problem comes in.
It's justifiable.
With some of the irregularities. For instance, we are seeing in the report unauthorized wage increases. There were mentions about wage increases that were not authorized, which implies that, you know, personnel were paid more than what was originally agreed upon. That is something that we have to look at. Circumvented hiring processes, apparently, according to the reporting, and this is the reporting that we have in the public domain at this moment. You know, they said that, you know, some staff were potentially hired without following the standard or required processes. That's something we have to look at. Unrelated expenditures on the Legend Walk project. You know, funds that were allocated for the games were instead used for the Legend Walk project at the Thomas.
Yeah, I love Robinson the Legend National Walk, Stadium. But I mean, it can be a $10 million, a $7 million.
You have to budget for that maybe separately, you know?
Correct.
It's about doing things in a proper manner.
Because that in and of itself should have been an event and an addition to the stadium with a proper opening ceremony and really dedicated to what it is, not just lumping it
into. A gospel concert that was unrelated to the games, and that event apparently only made $4,000. But guess what? We spent $140,000 for that. And so that's something that we would need answers on. This was the strangest one for me, the unauthorized vehicle purchase. But go ahead.
Yeah, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hey, Talking Heads, how y'all doing?
What's happening?
Good.
Everything good. I just want to make two statements and be brief. So the first statement is that I know you guys are aware on the internet and they have something known as clickbait. And I'll show you how that ties into what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
So you clickbait, you sensationalize your topic, and then when people actually you do that to get people to come to your page. Now, it's simply clickbaiting is like just telling a lie. And why I say that tie into what I'm going to say about the Auditor General and the situation we have in here. If you guys pay close attention, the problem is even if we get answers, our nation integrity is at question. I think what happening now is that lying so normal that, in our search for the truth, it's like nothing for us to lie to each other all the time. And I think before we could even get into the numbers and the statistics, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, are we going to continue to follow this trend of just lying straight up to each other and looking each other in their faces and lying? Now, that's one. Two, I think both of you are logical, reasonable, and rational people because I listen to your show, sir, and the lady is reading off everything strictly from the statistics. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, the whatever's right. In the public domain, whatever we have right. Access
so
to, that's what we're going on.
Then that would mean that you guys are logical, rational, and reasonable people as far as I can see. So what I would like to say is that don't you believe it would be fair if we were to find out tomorrow that we had one individual that stole from 400,000 people? He should get 1 year for each person he stole from. And, you know, we do that because at this point, it's not far-fetched. If the penalty for stealing from the Bohemian public, you get 1 year for each citizen, what you would see is now we create a check and balance that is equally distributed for everyone. So I believe if you're in a public official, the risk you would take for stealing in that way, the crime should match it, and you should get 1 year for stealing from each Bohemian citizen, right, which resulted in 500,000.
I like
you so
where
much.
You're going with this,
thank
but that's,
so much,
that's a little
I'm
steep right there.
I'm mad.
But listen, I appreciate you enlightening me on something. Now I know when politicians lie to me, that's clickbait.
I want to just say
and
that
when my sons lie to me, I just say, no gap, that's clickbait.
Maybe there are some stories, because I haven't read everything on this particular topic. I haven't heard anything about malfeasance necessarily. I think this is more about mismanagement and whether things were not managed optimally. I think that's
correct.
Where the conversation is
and
right
I
now.
Get that
I could
the
be
minister
wrong, but
as well,
that's
too.
What I'm mostly getting. Some of the things, as I was saying before, that, you know, the minister would probably do good for himself and for the government to answer questions about you know, some of the things the Auditor General mentioned, unauthorized vehicle purchases. That sounds crazy. I understand two small cars were purchased. That sounds...
But why are you purchasing cars from a man like that?
Non-games related staff assignments, apparently temporary staff were hired and given tasks that had nothing to do with the games, which these things are not necessarily bad, you know, but when you're budgeting for something and you're doing something, and I know the games are complex because I have a counterpoint in my mind to some of these things. I know the games are complex, but that's where you kind of have to like compartmentalize things properly and do them in a manner that would be like a business savvy decision for the Bahamian people. Don't just, okay, I got this opportunity now, let me just throw everything in there and just bust up the whole budget. You know, that's not making sense to me. And I think that's where a lot of people are confused. Now, this one, I need answers for this. Non-payment of National Insurance Board payments. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on now. We already talking about the situation that National Insurance is in. I think the last time I was here, we had a conversation with Arinthia Komolafi about this and the fact that we know that we have to do something to fix National Insurance. How are we hiring people and ain't paying National Insurance?
Exactly.
How are we telling business owners out there who still owe National Insurance, aren't doing what they're supposed to do? How are we coming to them, telling them to step up and do the right thing when we have events that are basically government-run also, according to the reporting, also doing the wrong thing and not paying your National Insurance. Like, that's crazy. Clean it up. Get it tighter.
If it's one thing we should do is pay your National
this
Insurance.
This looks like mismanagement. This looks like a poorly run. This looks like weak internal controls, not only at the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture, but weak internal controls at the Ministry of Finance. Because I know that Mr. Boleg is arguing, okay, it wasn't overspent, which could be technically true. Because if I tell you, okay, you have $500,000 to do this event, and you say, okay, cool, and then you keep coming back to me, well, I need another $100,000, and I keep approving it. Technically, it maybe wasn't an overspend because Cabinet kept approving it, but the initial budget, which is important to the people, because that's what we see.
We see snapshots.
It went over that. So it wasn't overspent compared to the initial budget. And that's what I think the minister needs to explain. I tell you, I could play devil's advocate in my mind with this. And if I were the minister, this thing about, oh, you disrespect me, you didn't come to me and you know, show me the thing before you actually sent it. The Auditor General is under no obligation to do that. And I know it sounds a little bit harsh, but in life, when we're talking business, when we're talking to Bahamian people money, you don't have to be nice. Just be predictable. And you can predict that when the Auditor General is done, then he's going to send it through the proper channels and protocols. That's all I need you to do. I don't need you to be nice to me and smile at me and come back and keep running behind me, ask me, well, where are these people receipts? No, that is not his job to do. His job to do is to deliver a report to the best of his ability to the Bahamian people that's as accurate as it can be based on the information before him. I think the Auditor General did that.
Just so, for the record, under Article 136, right? Section 5 of the right? Constitution, mm-hmm. and I quote, in the exercise of his functions, right. the Auditor General shall not be subject to the direction or control of yes. any other person or authority.
As a matter of fact, thank you, Mr. Bastian, for not going back and sitting down and parsing over these things after you did what you were supposed to. So as long as you did what you were supposed to do, you went by the rules. I don't want them to think this is going to be the new habit. He does an audit, maybe some things that they don't like. Oh, you need to come back to me and this and that before you present it to the Bahamian people. No. Let's get it together. And I know that the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture is a very competent person. All of the things that I've heard about him over the years seem to be good things, and he's really trying to get that ministry where it needs to be. But this whole thing about, oh, he disrespected me, Minister, that ain't it. That is not it. It's not his job to come back to you. It's his job to present an accurate report to the Bahamian people. As long as he fulfilled that, we're happy about it. But for the minister's part and for the ballooning of this budget, I will say this. We've all been in a position, and I'm going to give the minister a little lifeline now. I'm going to try. I don't know if I will. We've all been in a position where we endeavor to do something. And then as you get into it, you realize, this is starting to be a little bit more expensive than I imagined, so I got to adjust my budget. And then you start to say to yourself, you know what? If I invest this much more in it, the return could be even greater. At the end of the day, the games did generate some $6 million. Like I said, the undershoot was just about $900,000.
Zoomed in yet? We got Pearly zoomed in. Pearlissima, you could have said something. You know, you come with your manners today. When it's me,
Pearly.
You were bouncing here, eating chicken out the air fryer today. You're coming on mannerly and waiting and sitting
Pearly.
In the corner because MJ here. Yeah, without me, your manners
never,
today.
I would never disrespect MJ because
no,
she's trying to do
it's
something.
It's good, it's good,
it's good. So, what's your take on the overspend on the game, Pearly?
Yeah, the technical overspend. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
You know, I don't think anybody teeth anything. I just think that this government or the
mismanagement.
People just wanted to have a good time. Mm. And whatever come up, they just spent. They spent like it was money not running out.
Right.
And it was not properly done. You had people who were hired who weren't signed, didn't make national insurance. You hired 100 people for those people who had nothing to do.
Right.
You had contracts that weren't signed. They just didn't do the work properly. And then you get mad at the Auditor General for doing his job.
You can't.
He should have to speak to the minister directly.
I'm glad he didn't.
What he should do is send it to the PS. It's the PS responsibility.
Right.
For thinking. But I thought I read in that report that there was no comment from the government. I don't know. I don't think they reported. I don't think they responded. And I didn't.
From what I understand. Yeah, from what I understand, they were told this is the, preliminary report. Like, they were given chances along the way to make corrections and
that's
to submit the information that would have maybe had the final product look a little different. But if you didn't do that and you know that you're supposed to do that, would you get mad at the Auditor General? I'm actually happy that he's done his job in a way that the Bahamian people expect him to do without regard to anybody's feelings.
He does his job. And guess what? He ain't picking on this government because he messed with the last two governments. When I say mess, he did his job.
Don't you love that about him? Exactly.
Well.
You gotta love that about him. You know?
He's an honest brother, straight up guy that does his work, and we should respect that he did his work. And what we should be doing is figuring how we could correct that problem. So when we have this thing on May 45th, because I hear rumors coming out, this could be worse than the Grifter Games.
What?
Oh God.
Oh no.
Let's go to the
I could be wrong and I stand corrected. Oh, and I would hope they would prove me wrong. I would like to say I apologize.
He's giving them a roadmap about things to tighten up.
Rumors going around saying, ooh, boy.
The phone's lighting up, Pearly, so listen up. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking heads.
Yeah, good afternoon, Nari.
Afternoon, bro.
And to Pearly and
MJ.
Yes, yes. Listen, man. This is a perfect example of a minister to understand how the public service functions. The permanent secretary is the chief finance officer of all the ministries and departments.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a department head, you may be the chief finance officer for that particular department. But the minister needs to know he does not have the power to dictate, say, expenditure. Now, what he can do is to give the permanent secretary a directive or request certain things. So if you run out of money, and I agree with you to some extent, maybe the money was not misappropriated.
Right.
But the manner in which the money was spent and obtained is where the problem comes in.
Right.
So when the auditors go in and do their audit, like I said earlier in another talk show, first we do a system review. We build our audit program based on the system review, what you tell us you do and how you do that. So we would have not known you hire 110 people and pay them whatever you pay them unless you give us that information.
Right.
Now our job is to make sure the money is spent in accordance with the financial administration and all of that. I said, I was a former auditor of the Auditor General Department for 23 years plus. How about you do it? We make sure the financial administration and all that is adhered to at all times. You know, minister, you know, prime minister, you know, financial secretary has the power to go beyond the financial administration and all that. You kind of violate that act that governs everybody who's dealing with the government expenditure. So you expend the government expenditure based on the policies and procedure, and you account for the monies collected, the revenue, based on the expenditure, based on the financial measure and all that. You don't spend as you feel like. You don't put as you see fit. The money must be in a timely fashion and must be spent according to budget. So if you run out of money in your budget, you go to the financial, well, in this case, they went to the cabinet. The cabinet then speaks to the financial secretary, and the financial secretary gives the record to the treasurer, and the treasurer gives the director of finance officer how to go about causing those expenses that was overspent to be paid. You know, Minister Mario Boleg is totally out of order, thinking he has some directive. He can give directive or thinking that the Auditor General holds it. Auditor General ain't subject to nobody, not even the Prime Minister. Nobody gave the Auditor General directive, not even the Prime Minister. So this report goes to Parliament. So everybody reviews that report and debates on that. The office leader, who is the finance person that deals with these things in Parliament, that's who will probably review it and raise certain questions. So ministers of the government need to know. If they don't know, and I want to advise every Prime Minister, when you come into office, you get these ministers who don't know about the public service, let the finance secretary sit with them and give them directive. Let them understand the procedure. That's what they need to do. Don't you have no power with your name, minister? You have the right to abuse the public funds.
Well, I appreciate you being so candid and clarifying things for us, Big John. I really
so
do
much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Okay,
always good to hear from you. Have a good weekend, man.
The order, I would prefer the Auditor General to have no kind of talk with the minister or the prime minister.
He should
never be seen with them because it doesn't give the false hope, a false look that he's collaborating with them.
Correct.
He's doing the right thing by not mixing with them and sending his directives to the prime secretary.
I applaud him for it.
Then let everybody meet it and got back with a response.
I applaud.
Let's get this on the call right here. Talking heads.
Yeah. Naughty. Again, the Auditor General is an accountant. And an accountant duty is to carry out his fiduciary duty, which means his trust duty, and to be accountable. We call for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak of the Auditor General, that's an accountant. And he did what he did. And the main thing in anybody being accountable is to show some bona fides. That means to show some honesty and integrity of intent. Okay?
And the Auditor General takes his oath very seriously.
Right. And I want to say, like I mentioned earlier, the word chicanery, we have to watch out for trickery to achieve a political, legal, or financial purpose. That's what the word chicanery means.
We got you, man. We ate the dictionary like you did, too. You know, I see you doing a lot of big ones today.
Yeah,
anyway, go enjoy your weekend, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we that's the help, folks.
There you go. Thank you so much, man. Have a great weekend.
We'll
talk to you Monday.
Right.
Hey, you got to play my song next week. I hear that in a couple of days. Make sure I have that next week for me, man.
What that is?
That Calypso song he's playing, that soca song. You said that's the national anthem for the BLB.
You mean that's a song, Happy Flyout by Daddy Lizard, man.
Yeah, Daddy Lizard. I need to hear
Happy
next week.
That's what it's called, Happy Flyout by Daddy Lizard.
All right, solid. Okay. I need that next week.
All right.
All right, let's get this last call, Mr. All right, cool. Yeah, let him, yeah. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty.
Hey, what's happening, Anton?
Yeah, good afternoon. How you doing?
What's going on? We got Pearly and MJ here, too. What's happening with you, man?
Yeah, good afternoon, MJ.
Hi, Anton.
How y'all doing?
We're good.
MJ, you feel like you're on a mission today.
Why are you focusing on me? You need to answer or ask your question. What's going on with you?
Because you're the one who is providing the explanation why I decided to call in the first place. Right.
Go ahead. So, make your point.
And so I'm gonna get the and so I'm choosing to call in to bring the attention to where it ought to be, because it seems to be spinning out of control. We have persons calling in suggesting as though the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, Minister Maria Boleg, is attempting to do something and to ward or to misdirect.
That's your interpretation of it, Anton.
That was your interpretation of it.
Okay?
That's how your mind works that way.
If I can speak, I'm still making my point.
The last two callers stated that exactly what I'm saying. It wasn't suggested.
They didn't.
It was stated clearly, which is what prompted me to call him.
What is your point?
I'm with you on this point.
It's the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture who requested, in the first instance, for the Auditor General, who is independent in the execution of his duties, to come in and commence an internal review of the expenditure and all monies.
That's not true. The Minister, the PS requested it, not the Minister. The Minister has no contact with the Auditor General.
It was the PS at the behest.
Thanks for that clarification, Earl.
It was the PS at the behest of the minister. So it was the minister
who made the request. It was the minister.
Make the request. Don't fool the fucking police. Spin this to sound like that. The minister told the PS to do it fine. The PS asked the Auditor General. I don't want you to let the listeners believe that the minister was in direct contact with Auditor General. That is disingenuous.
But we can't talk together. And I'm still making my point.
Line your plane, Anton. Come on,
we
only have a couple minutes. Line your plane.
Yeah, so give me the opportunity to speak.
All right, you're too. I think
we need to let
Anton runway three.
Line this plane, please.
Thank you. And so it needs to be first and foremost acknowledged that the minister is operating in full transparency because he recognizes that the internal auditor general for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas operates independently. Yet he invited him in the first instance to conduct an internal audit. And so based upon that premise, also recognizing the Auditor General is independent, there is still nothing wrong with the Auditor General communicating with the minister and expressing.
Yes, there is something wrong with that.
Anton.
He can still execute his duties.
Anton, calm down. Your microphone is pumping.
The Bahamas in a real place. Nowhere in the world that happens.
There's nothing wrong with him communicating. Communicating with the minister is not satisfied.
Listen.
The internal auditor in any way, shape, or form.
Listen.
Still performing his duties and passing the report forward to Parliament. That does not prevent him in any way, shape, or form. Not at all. And there's nothing wrong with him communicating with him.
But Anton, I think Mr. Bastian,
The PS is the ultimate day-to-day runner of the ministry. You talk to the PS and the PS goes to
the
minister.
That's fine. That's the way it's supposed to be.
But Anton, this is the way I see it.
I'm listening, Nori.
All right, here you go. Mr. Boleng may very well have requested the Auditor General to perform an audit, which is fine.
Right.
However, at no way, shape and form, does the auditor ever come off of Article 136,
not
Section 5?
Not obligated to do that.
You don't have to answer to nobody.
He's not obligated to do
so
that.
Even if you invite me, I can always invoke that rule and say, now that you've invited me, I still don't have to answer to you.
Right. See, because we have facts and we have feelings. Right now, Anton has feelings and we have facts.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. What you said is exactly why I call in. The minister is not suggesting, in any way, shape, or form, that the Auditor General should not have submitted his report forward, that the Auditor General should not have conducted his job. That was the whole purpose why the minister invited him in the first place.
But the auditor
Hang on. Let's pause him 1 second, please, because I think Anton Tan's good about this topic. I don't know why.
Anton, put a plug in it for one second.
The point of the matter is that the minister went and he spoke with the dailies. One of the things he said was that he felt disrespected for the Auditor General doing something that he's in no way obligated to do. As a matter of fact, in case you're not hearing it clearly, a lot of people prefer the way that the Auditor General handled this situation because we want it to be this way, not just with the Progressive Liberal Party government, but with other governments as well. We want our Auditor General to be independent. What you're suggesting he does is something that you feel in your feelings that he should do, but that's not necessarily legal for him to do. And for the minister to suggest, that he's being disrespectful, I find that to be disingenuous. You don't go out in the public and put it out there that the Auditor General is being disrespectful for doing something he's under absolutely zero obligation to do.
Let me ask you something.
That isn't fair either.
You're the one who actually sounds very animated, MJ. But tell me
actually,
something.
I'm not. It's my happy voice, Anton.
Answer this question for me, MJ. Go ahead.
Land the plane.
If the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, the Honorable Mario Boleg, did not make the request directly for the internal auditor to come in and conduct an internal review,
right,
what would have happened up to this point?
Anton, it doesn't matter. Who knows what would have happened? Go pull out your crystal ball and tell us what would have happened.
Who knows what was on the agenda of any government agency
without the minister's permission? The Auditor General need nobody's permission.
No, but my question is,
besides the date, he come in there and audit where you work. Exactly. And nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Let's get into sports. It's been a great week in review. Obviously, we have to do this
that
again
was
on
fun.
Friday. We had some fun with Dalvin Perley.
That was a lot of fun.
No, it's not fun. All right. I just don't want you to be disingenuous. See, I don't want you to be the political spin because I could do the same thing.
I agree.
Be honest.
I think we should
be
fair too.
And say the facts. Don't say certain things to the public here and get the wrong impression.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
Anton was doing, and I don't appreciate that.
Nobody knows what was on the docket or the agenda of the Auditor General. He may have been laying in the cut saying, you know what, I go audit the heck out of Kalifta.
Anton has a crystal ball.
Right after, Anton has a script.
He's pretending that he
from the pen of the chairman straight down and regurgitates party rhetoric. Does a great job because he's resilient.
As I said earlier, I don't think this is a...
You got to be able to... When you sound like it's BS and it's not like it's BS,
you gotta admit it.
Then let's keep it moving.
My thing is that, like I think all of us are saying, it doesn't sound like malfeasance. It sounds like just poor management. And that's something
that we can say.
If he wanted to say that, we could say that. Anyway, let me read a couple of these texts and then we could slide into sports. Naughty, I'm glad you let Anton go. He's going to burst a blood vessel and it'll be on your hands for his aneurysm. I'm sorry for him. His plane is going to crash before it lands. You need to cut him off.
I was waiting for him to land the plane.
Naughty Guardian Radio, please ban Anton from polluting the airways with his PFP garbage. All right, I tell you, write management and say you want to trade Anton for Sparky and we'll work it out. Naughty, I agree with MJ on the audit. He comes slapping about feeling disrespected because he didn't get a final report but didn't make sure the Auditor General got what he needed after he was notified there were questions. That's disrespectful if you ask me.
I wonder if Anton read the report because I read the report.
Anyhow, we talking sports now. A couple of things that jump off the page, and this is great for the week in review. Kai Jones, multi-year contract with the LA Clippers, Perley. And I'm over the top with that. And as a matter of fact, if you give me a second, I may have a clip right here, which I do, and I'm gonna try to play it to my best ability. Mr. Producer, I just gonna hold it right up to the mic.
To be honest with you, this is the best opportunity of my basketball career. I'm super happy to be here, super grateful for the opportunity, and glad that the organization sees something in me and trust me, give me this chance to work my way back in and make the most out of this opportunity. I see that I can be a lob threat. You know what I mean? Somebody can cut from the corner, finish above the rim, and protect the rim as well. That's what I see. You know, a lot of high motor plays, you know, playing hard.
So happy for him, Burley.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for him.
He looks good. He looks healthy. He looks in shape. I mean, the guns are huge, man. He's really, you know, in good shape. Looks like he's in a good place mentally, and I think he's embraced the Clipper organization, and the Clipper organization has embraced him.
And I'm happy for him.
Look for Kai Jones to do big things in that organization, man. I think it's a good fit.
Let me ask you this, because I love listening to you and Earl talk sports. Like, you guys do an awesome job. I don't know if I've said that enough.
Thank you. You guys do a really good job.
You
never could say that enough.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts now that Kai Jones is back? How are our Olympic hopes looking for Paris now? You guys think we looking a little... Looking good, or what y'all think? We have three NBA athletes on one roster.
I think we could do some good things and make some noise. If not, you know, tickle the medal round, at least be in the top five or six when it's all said and done.
All right, that's not bad. And I'd be happy with that. Me too.
All right.
And especially if Clay there, that'll even be a big shot me out.
I want Clay. Clay was 0-for-7, and Clay couldn't hit the broadside of a bucket other night, 0-for-10. Me on three Jack Daniels and some Doritos could have got off the couch and hit 3-3s. All right, I'm a priority rat.
You judge him out on one game.
Exactly. Let him get his little bunks back, man.
Hey, Purdy, hold on a second. Speaking for Beige Nation and Light, Bright, and Almost White, you know, he put us back 15 years with that performance the other night. I want you to believe
that. That's one, and everybody has that.
Yeah. You're right.
Well, that's the last one we saw for this year. You need to step back out next year and start draining some. Clay is my boy, but guess what?
He can be draining some July for the Bahamas.
He wasn't looking like no Clay, but he was muddy.
If that happens, that'll be great if he can play with the national team.
But Pearly, let's get into the picks because we got a couple of games tonight, a couple of baseball games, and then we got Cowherd or Ison taking us home. I'll figure that out right now. But you got a couple of big games tonight in the NBA. Play-in games, man. Play-in games. The last two. The Heat with an injured Jimmy Butler. You know, they got a tough Because of the Butler
injury. If the Bulls play anything later tonight, other night, it's over.
Yeah, if the Bulls play anything close to the level they played at the other night, I think they get by the Heat purely because of injury. Probably Muff will be calling in a second, really, to row us, but that's the way I see it. I also think Sacramento, with the momentum they had, I think they're going to knock off the Pelicans, who don't have Zion Williamson.
The Pelicans can't beat the Kings without Zion. Nothing happening there.
And I can't lie to you, man. I was impressed the other night. He dropped 40 on just for you. He must have heard you, but he dropped 40.
He called me. He called me and said, "Boy, I can put something on y'all." I said, "All right."
Yeah, boy, he puts up on you.
When he called me, I said, "I hope you don't get hurt," and I felt bad.
Because in the next play, you got hurt, right?
Yep.
Ah, boy, let me see who can take us home today. I don't know if this could be Kyle Hurt or if this can be Eisen. Eisen got a couple of good questions, though. I ain't gonna lie.
I like what Eisen said, yeah.
They were talking about the Bills.
But you've been awful quiet about your Yankees. You was bragging about best record in baseball. That ain't happening no more.
What's that word you said? It's not how you start early in the season and all of that. Let me borrow that phrase, but you were saying just a couple of days before about your Dodgers.
It ain't how you start, it's how you finish.
Okay, all right.
And that's why I say that, because Jeff's been giving me hell, right? And say, "Oh, your Dodgers 12-8. But if you look at my Dodgers, in 2016, we were 12-8 after 20 games. 2017, we were 9-11. 2018, we were 10-10. 2019, we were 12-8.
And you're 12-8?
Over the 20.
And what are the Yankees? 13-6.
That's all right. And 2021, we were 14-6. Last year, we was 10-10. We finished with the best record in baseball.
And we hold the tiebreaker over the Guardians, who are tied with us because we took 3 out of 4 from them last week.
Yep.
And we're 6-4 in our last 10. So the rumors of our demise are greatly exaggerated by one Dodger blue blood named Pearlie. That's all.
Okay.
Dodgers are 4-6 in the last 10 games, too, by the way.
Yeah, but the Braves 12-5.
Now, you always like throw them in there just to throw them under the bus, just to say the Dodgers better than somebody. Hey.
Well, we can be all right. All right.
I'm looking at it right now.
I have a lot of talent.
So what we're going to do is we're going to get, and once we get into these picks, we got...
I already thought we'd done the picks.
No, man, don't forget you got some basketball coming up. You're going into the weekend. You got some games tomorrow, Pearlie.
Can I just say before you move off of baseball, I wanted to say congratulations, because I saw a story today about young Bahamian Rashawn Pinder, who's 16 years old.
Yeah, with the Texas Rangers.
So shout out to him. I've been saying for years that our athletes are really one of the high points that show, you know, bring a lot of pride to the country. So congratulations to Rashawn Pinder, who signed with the Texas
Rangers.
And Javon Sands and all of the whole crew over there.
And I Elite did a great job.
Congratulations. Always doing an excellent job.
And listen, Pearlie, I got another little tidbit for you, too. All right?
Okay.
I saw something today. You know, I'm a big fan of the transfer portal. If you could get out, get out. You know what I mean? What you got to do. All right? Mr. Producer, that's your final 10 right there. Just gone over from Colin Coward. But listen, saw that A.J. Storr, Bahamian A.J. Storr, who plays on the national team, big guard at Wisconsin this year, averaged 16 points, has quietly transferred to Kansas.
What?
He's gone to Kansas, baby.
Man.
Listen, no, to me, that's a huge upgrade, bro. You know how big that Kansas is.
Number one, Kansas. Preseason, that's a big pickup for Kansas. That's a huge pickup.
And
Self
was quoted as saying in his postseason in his exit conference, press conference, saying, "I am going to go find what I need in the transfer portal." And apparently, AJ Storr was waiting in the transfer portal because he knew it was coming. And we got a Bahamian in one of the best programs in the nation next year.
Yep.
He's definitely the other one to make the NBA. Watch and see. He's awesome.
He's going to be the next Bahamian in the NBA. If Kansas is taking him, he was starting in Wisconsin. So if he's going to Kansas, he's going to be on the radar.
And then again, we have a Bahamian at Texas Tech, too, who just signed out of high school in the States.
That's the 6'5".
6'5" guard, and I gotta get his name. But he's
lined up. He was unnoticed, and all of a sudden he just shot up the ranks. And people were after him. He's gonna do well. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now, but he's gonna do super.
All right, now let's look at these games for over the weekend. Probably we'll do them rapid fire. All right.
Okay. All right.
On Saturday, 1 p.m., Orlando and Cleveland. I like Orlando in this series. You know, dark horse team under the radar. I like Orlando as an upset dog.
I like Cleveland. I think they got too much for Orlando.
All right, we'll see. Phoenix Suns and Minnesota Timberwolves. I think this one should go 7 games if they play it right.
Maybe 6, yeah. I like the Timberwolves in the first game at home.
At home, correct. I like them at home, too. I got the Sixers and the Knicks. I like the Knicks in the Garden. It's been a long time since the Knicks been in the playoffs. It's been a long time since they've been seated this high. I think they get it done. This series has 7 games written all over it, but I like the Knicks tonight by 3 points, just on emotion alone.
It has. Yeah, I like it.
Denver Nuggets, they own the Lakers. And until the Lakers could actually beat the Nuggets, you got to roll with the Nuggets in this one.
You got to roll with the Nuggets. I go in with the Lakers.
You could go with the Lakers plus the 7. I still say the Nuggets in 6. And I'm standing from a Lakers. I need to see if D'Angelo Russell shows up. I need to see if LeBron plays defense. I need to see what's going on with AD. There's a lot there. And I got to see if Richie Hachimura shows up as well, too.
This series is my upset series. This is my upset series.
Jesus. Last time I said that they swept the Lakers in 4. Anyway.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Yeah. And was it in 1983 or 4, the Sixers, the 76ers swept the Lakers, and the Lakers came back and beat them? Anything could happen.
And then don't forget, the Pistons swept the Lakers in 89, but that was due to hamstrings, Magic Johnson and Byron Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything can happen on any given day. And that is why, like Chris Berman says, they play the game.
I like Denver to get that one. And then on Sunday you got the Clippers and the Mavericks. I like the Mavericks in this one. I think Kyrie and Luka doing too many good things. And then you got the Pacers and the Bucks on Sunday. Depending on who shows up, if Giannis is back and able to play, it's a little different.
He's out 2 to 4 weeks. He's not gonna play this series.
He's gonna play in Indiana. Indiana in that first one, I like them to steal that one.
Yeah, I think they will. But Giannis out is not happening for the Bucks. The Bucks can lose this series.
There you go. Well, we're going to take the break now, Pearly. Colin Cowherd going to take us home. So I want to thank you for chiming in. MJ, thank you for chiming in. We got to do this again on Friday.
It was fun. Always fun hanging out with you and Pearly. It's always cool.
All right, let me catch these last couple.
And just before I go, I just wanted to say that we put Dawn Sanders to rest today. And I just want to continue to send her for his family and everything. It was a really beautiful, touching service, and I just want to say rest in peace, my brother.
Rest in peace.
All right, and I second that emotion. Rest in peace, Don. I'm going to miss you. And you candid conversations.
Man, I can miss that dude.
Good
guy. You know.
Hey, Naughty, don't mind. And MJ, don't mind that Pearly guy. He knows them chokers in LA ain't going nowhere. Wonder if Ohtani have any bet on NHL playoffs tonight.
Enjoy your weekend. You Yankees.
So if Pearly didn't argue when his wife left him, does that mean he didn't want her either? Me and my wife can leave you now too. And the listeners, we'll see you all on Monday, man. Have a great
Everyone
weekend.
Have a great weekend.
All right, Colin Cowherd coming up next. We'll see you on Monday right here.
Foundation. Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Breeze's Grounds ignite with Bahamian Talent, featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, Shine 242.
They know if you ain't waiting.
Join the Falcons, Iron Store, Dovi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
All those loans I had were overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Made exactly the way they should be.
by someone with chicken in their name. The new Kentucky Chicken Sandwiches feature a quarter pound of all white meat, triple breaded, spicy chicken breast filet on a freshly toasted buttery brioche bun with your choice of lettuce, tomato, bacon, and the perfect amount of Colonel's real mayo or spicy sauce. Every chicken sandwich is freshly prepared and piping hot. Kentucky Fried Chicken Sandwiches, the only chicken sandwiches that are finger-licking good.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
Your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Whether you like it hot or you enjoy being original, KFC has the only chicken sandwiches with attitude, featuring 100% extra large white meat chicken fillets for 100% flavor. Enjoy the famous flavor of KFC 11 herbs and spices in the KFC original recipe burger, or take the heat up a notch with a spicy fillet with our KFC Kentucky Deluxe sandwich. And for a limited time, enjoy your favorite sandwich with fries for only $7. That's how it's done. KFC Nassau, it's finger licking good.
Maybe it's time to explore your options. There's no harm in reviewing your mortgage arrangement and considering a better deal. CIBC Caribbean can help you narrow your search and decide. Switch your mortgage to CIBC Caribbean and enjoy a special interest rate and help towards your switching cost. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/inspired home for more information. Conditions apply.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
All right, best for last today. We're going to do the top 10 players in the playoffs. We're considering everything. For instance, Giannis is hurt, going to miss games. But playoffs generally reward older players. So I know it's going to be controversial, but that's the way the playoffs are. Older players manipulate the refs. By the way, the NBA at about the trade deadline stopped officiating the way they were officiating. So they made an in-season adjustment. They're letting teams play. We had a Celtics-Bucks game at the end of the year, but they're like two free throws. So you're going to get more physical basketball, fewer foul calls. Every round, you're going to get fewer and fewer whistles. That's kind of what you like in the NBA. So these are my top 10 players in the NBA in order. So advanced analytics. Love Jokic. All the stuff like win shares and efficiency. He's the best player in the league. Box score plus minus, value over replacement player. The guy had 708 assists this year as a center. Jokic is number one. Luka Doncic, who now his blocks were up, his steals were up. He led the Mavs in steals. Playing some defense now finally, probably because he's in better shape. Averaged 34 a game. He is going to be the league's probably, you know, best pure shooter scorer for a long time, Luka at two. I would, SGA, who's an MVP finalist, has emerged. I didn't see this coming. So he led the NBA. He had 51 games, 30 or more points. Plays defense. Led the NBA in steals. I mean, they're a totally different team. They're not totally dependent on him offensively. In the court, they're plus 11. When he's off, they're in the minus territory. Number four is Jason Tatum, best player on the best team. And one of the things you like about Tatum, his usage rate isn't that high. So, you know, there are some questions. Does he want the ball late, or does Jaylen Brown want it more? He's not bad late in games. He just hasn't been great clutch time sometimes. But he's the best player on the best team, and he's averaging 25, 8, and 4, and the only other guys doing that are like Giannis and Luka. Number 5, again, he's injured. He'd probably be my 4 instead of my 5, but is Giannis. I don't think he's going to play in the first few games in this series. Listen, he averaged 30 a game, career high in assists, but he's had calf issues, lower leg Achilles issues, so you're kind of just like crossing your fingers. He actually slightly got better this year, but bigs, once they start getting hurt, they don't get hurt less. I would put him at 5. I thought Anthony Davis had probably his best year as a pro. He moved back inside. He wandered out to the perimeter for a couple years. He wandered at career highs the last 2 years in points in the paint, and that's where he's great. He's the best defensive player, I think, in the league. He gets along with LeBron. He played a ton of games this year. He played 76 games, and he played hurt. That was always the knock on him, but he was kind of a soft player, a dad bod, wouldn't put the time in the gym. This year, great shape, played hard. I thought he was a spectacular player. I think the 7th best player is his teammate LeBron, who needs more days off. But LeBron led the NBA in 4th quarter scoring. The other thing about LeBron is that he had a really good year shooting threes, over 40%. Now, LeBron has always been, sometimes he believes in his three-point shot, sometimes he doesn't. When he doesn't, he usually goes back to driving and scoring, which he's highly effective at. He can't give you the night, you know, he needs time off. He's going to take some days off, but I would say he's the 7th best player. And on many nights, he's the best player for a half in the league. Number 8, Jalen Brunson. It's not just about scoring. Leadership, toughness. Now, it's the NBA in usage rate. Historically, if you're like a usage rate leader, you wear down in the playoffs, and I think that could possibly happen against Philadelphia. But with Jalen, it's the mid-range game, it's the leadership, it's the defense, it's the toughness. He's a classic Villanova guy. He's 8. Kevin Durant, 9. You know, Kevin, 15 straight season, averaging 25-plus. He also played a ton of games like Anthony Davis. So he played 75 games. He doesn't want to be the leader. That's not what he's going to do. But he's a remarkable shot maker. And what you'll find in the playoffs, sometimes analytics take a backseat to get a basket and get a stop. He's always been an underrated defensive player. And by the way, these are razor thin. You can argue all of these. I'd say number 10 is Joel Embiid. He's just hurt. So you're not getting the best of Joel Embiid, but they're 32-8 when he plays. And that you can't deny. Now, where's Ant Edwards? I don't think he's as complete as SGA. He's not the defensive player as some of these guys. He's not a shot creator. Ant's probably like 11. Jaylen Brown's got to be 12 in that sort of ballpark. So there you go. My top 10 players in the playoffs. We can argue. I would say, you know what's interesting, and you saw this with DeJounte Murray. If you look at DeJounte Murray in Atlanta, when Trae Young doesn't play, his numbers go up. Jaylen Brown's with Luka, and then he goes to New York without Luka, high usage rate, and his numbers pop. And then they